Thanks, Kelsey. Thanks, worship team. I hope your Sunday is going well, that your week has gone well. We're in a brand new series, and in this series, we are going to be spending 4 weeks inside the mind of Paul. Now, he has a way of dealing with struggles and trials in life that were really shaped by his faith and the way that he thinks about things as a result of his faith. Sometimes when Paul talks about what he thinks about and the way he thinks about things, he just sounds insane. Ultimately, he sounds crazy. But I resonate with that because I think many times I am just crazy in my own head as I am trying to work out things and work through things, try and make sense of my life and the world around me and the way that I'm processing those things and how I should process them as a follower of Christ versus just how I would process them normally in the world. So I think I sound a little crazier than I would like to ever admit. But Paul says that there are things that he wants to do that he ends up not doing. And then he says there's things that he doesn't want to do that he does end up doing. And he talks about this war within himself all the time, of the things he wants to do, having a hard time actually doing those. And then these things that he says, these aren't good for me, I don't want to do these things. He says, those are the things I end up doing. And he's got this constant struggle. And I think there's something that we can all learn from the honesty and the struggle of Paul. And a key verse for this series is going to be 2 Corinthians 10. So let me show you the first few verses here. Verse 3 and 4 says, we are human. These are Paul's words. He says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. So these are divine weapons. These are God weapons versus a man weapon. And what do we use them for? He says, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is one of those places where a negative thought or something negative in our life has a place, like a foothold, where something can step up on that, or we can step into something not so good as a result. So we want to knock down these strongholds of human reasoning and then destroy false arguments, which of course come from Satan himself, where he tells you certain things about yourself, ways to think about yourself, ways that your life is, even though that is not, always in contrast to the promises and the truths of God. But he's trying to build these strongholds in our lives, but we have these weapons that are available to us, these divine weapons, these mighty weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy the false arguments. So when we have these available to us, it challenges some of the things that the world tells us, which is things like, you're not good enough. Right? You've probably heard that before, or your own mind has told you, you are not good enough for whatever that thing might be. Or you are unlovable. The things that you have done, places you have been, the way you have hurt this person or that person, you are unlovable. Or you look in the mirror and you say, you are ugly. You do not measure up. You fall short. You are unable, whatever it might be. The things in front of you, things with your work, things with school, things with challenges in front of you, you are unable. Satan loves to tell you that you are broken, and broken in a way that cannot be repaired. Broken in a way that something has fallen apart, something no longer is put together. And because of that, you will not be whatever it is that you're hopeful for. You are a damaged person. Satan will tell you that. You are damaged. There has been things that have happened to you, things that have been done to you, and you are now damaged goods. It's not repairable. And ultimately, Satan wants you to believe in some of those strongholds in our life is that you are unworthy. You know, Satan tells us these lies, and each one of these lies is a brick. And if we accept these bricks, we eventually end up building these walls that become our own prison. Of these lies that Satan has, it tells us we can't, we are unable, we are unworthy, we are unlovable, we are damaged, we are broken. And if we believe these things, we build up these walls around us, which become our own prisons that we live within. when God has given us a freedom outside of that. But these strongholds that Satan has are so powerful in our lives. Every single one of us here today are dealing in one way or another with some of these strongholds in which Satan has told you these lies and you have bought them. You have believed them and you have constructed your own prison walls with them. But here's what Paul has to say about these lies. It's in the very next verse, verse 5. He says, "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." In other words, we destroy the lies that Satan tells us, these strongholds in our lives, these footholds that he has in there, we destroy them. And the way we destroy them is we capture them. We take hold of these. We capture these lies and make those thoughts, make those lies obedient to Christ. And when we do that, it sheds light on the untruth that Satan wants to cast in your life and my life. And Christ's truth is revealed, which is the opposite of the lies of Satan. And over these next 4 weeks, we're going to learn how to recognize these thoughts, these negative thoughts, these thoughts that are not from God, these thoughts that are from Satan himself, and how to capture these thoughts and how to make those thoughts obedient to Christ. And let me tell you something before we go any further in this. This is an area of tremendous growth in my own life. Okay, this is where your pastor stands before you and says, I am one on a journey, and on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I have not even begun to figure this out, and 10 being I got this nailed, I honestly believe I'm somewhere in the 3 category. And I am working hard at this in my own life and my own journey. But the lies can be so manipulative because there seems to be truth in them. There seems to be grains of truth, evidence that you can point out to say, yeah, that lie is true. Which makes it not a lie, it makes it a truth. And then you own it and you build the bricks and you build your cell walls. But there are truths of God that we have to hold on to regardless of what Satan tries to convince us of otherwise. And I think this is one of the biggest struggles that we have as followers of Christ, is knowing who we are and what our identity is in Christ and what he says about us, what he thinks about us, and then what the truth really is about us. Because so many of us feel that we're not good enough or we're unlovable or we're ugly or unable, broken, damaged, unworthy. But here is a truth. The life that you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. If you're following along with your fill-ins, this is how we'd put it in a fill-in here on page 5. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life is moving in the direction of whatever your strongest thoughts are. That's the direction you're moving. Positive or negative, whatever your strongest thought is, your life is moving in that direction. No question about it. This is not a religious idea. This is common, behavioral, mental, personality knowledge even. If you talk to therapists and counselors, they will confirm that people in general are moving in the direction of their strongest thoughts. That's where they're going. If you're a person that lives in fear, you live in a life moving in the direction of being fearful. If you feel you are this, or you feel you are that, or you feel this is true, or this is true, you build your life around that truth, and your life moves in that direction. So if you want to change your life, you have to change your thinking. Change your thinking, and you will change your life. This is not overnight. That little key right there is a thing that I have been working so hard on in my own journey. That if I want a life a certain way, I have to start thinking a certain way. And that if I continue to think one way, my life is going to go that way, and I am responsible for what I think. It is difficult to make these changes, and I'm going to go through why it's so difficult to make these changes. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe it is possible to make these changes, to believe the truths of God over the lies of Satan, the strongholds that he tries to put in our life that tear us away or keep us from believing the things of God. So in the next 4 weeks, you are going to gain some tools to help you change your life. I don't think in 4 weeks you're going to have this thing nailed, nor will I have this thing completely nailed, but I hope that you take a few steps in that direction. Maybe you find some victories in some ways, or at least you have a context, some definitions, so that you can start working on this in your own journey. Maybe your small group can help you with this, or people that are praying for you, people in your family, your husband, your wife, kids, even with your parents, helping you change the way you think so you can have that life that you do want to have. Because I believe that our faith in Jesus will change us. It does change us. And the change that Jesus talks about is this kind of change, a transforming of our minds. It's like the Old Testament verse that says this, Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." You always hear this with dietitians, right? You are what you eat. You are what you think. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In other words, if you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think you can, you probably will. If you believe that you are a victim, then you are going to live as a victim. If you believe that you have the power to overcome, you will overcome. If you dwell on your problems will overwhelm you. If you live looking for solutions, you're going to find those solutions. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. But here's another truth, your next fill-in. The major battles in life are won or lost in the mind, which has a lot to do with the first fill-in. But the major battles in life, the major things that are happening in your world and my world, past, present, and ones that are yet to come, those battles are going to be won and lost in the mind. The way that you think about it, the way you choose to frame those things. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we have a choice how to frame it because it feels like others are framing it for us. Because other people are defining you. Other people are saying who you are and what you are capable of, what kind of person you are. And when those things are positive, that's great. When those things are negative and you grab a hold of those and you let those frame the way you think about yourself, the major battles in life are won or lost in the mind. The mind is a battlefield. Now, back in the 80s, Pat Benatar thought it was love. She was wrong. It's the mind. Some of you are like, Pat, who? To have a battle, there has to be two sides, right? There has to be two sides for a battle. What is the battle in the mind? What are the two sides of the battle? Well, there are God's truths about you on one side and Satan's lies about you on the other. And that's the battle in your mind and in my mind. I want you to take a moment today to pause, even just here for a moment, and I want you to take a... let's call this a thought inventory, okay? I want you to think about what it is that you think about. What it is that on a daily basis, day in and day out, seems to be the thing that you're thinking about. A kind of thought audit in which, let me give you some examples of what this thought audit might be. So, for example, you might be a person who is worried. Or you could be a person who is peaceful. Somewhere on this timeline or this line of thought, you will find yourself. Are you more worried or are you more peaceful? You see, a worried person is going to be thinking about, you know, worrying about their children all the time and where they're at. That's not a bad thing, right? We want to keep our kids safe. I can remember as a kid being home, this is, you know, many, many years ago in which, you know, there weren't a lot of different media options. And the news would say, you know, it's 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, whatever curfew was in your town, would say, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? I'm like, seriously, like parents needed that? Like for the news to like remind them, oh yeah, we have kids. Where are they? Maybe they need to be a little more worried about their kids. But you know what I mean? When it comes to your children, how worried are you about them and how peaceful are you about where they're at and where God is at in the process? Or your future? Or your money? Or your job? or your health? Do you find yourself to be more of a worried person, or do you find yourself to be more peaceful about a situation? What about in the spectrum of negative versus positive? You know, are you critical? Critical of yourself, critical of others, critical of your spouse, critical of your children, critical of your coworkers? Are you more critical in the way that you look at things, or are you more positive and looking for the best in someone? Do you find fault in others often? In fact, I think when it's negative, this is where that victim mentality can come from. That you're the victim of everybody else's stupid decisions. All the people around you that should be doing so much better, and you are affected by all of what they do. And that's a negative way of thinking. A positive way of thinking is to think the best about people and the best about their choices and the limitations of other people. But the way that you think about it is the direction that your life is going to go, and it's the way that you're going to start to see more and more of these things. Are your thoughts more worldly, or are they more eternal? Worldly thoughts are thoughts that are based not in the eternal. So these are things like, you know, how many likes do I get on Instagram? You know, I want to be sure that my, you know, social media platform is set up just right, and, you know, I take the correct amount of time, 1 hour, to get that I just woke up shot in bed, right? You know, or you know, what do people think of me? And that being the main thing that I go into my day with. What do people think of me? How will people accept me? How will people receive me? And what can I do to change that and be more likable and be more included? For some, it's more like I really want to be a part of the group. I want to be a part of the crowd that I think is worth being a part of. This is where peer pressure falls in. And it's not just for middle school and high school students, but it's for us as adults. You know, do I change my values? Do I change who I am in order to conform to this group so that I can be perceived by them as accepted, worthy, wanted, okay? Because to stand against some of those things are difficult for us. Worldly versus more of an eternal perspective. Is your identity really what your identity is, or do you have to portray a false identity? Or can you really be who you are in Christ? So these are the different kinds of thoughts that we can have. And I think if you can do an honest thought audit, an assessment of your thoughts, it will reveal that your life has become what it is that you think about. It is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life cannot be positive if you have a negative mind. It's impossible for that to happen. I mean, take a quick moment right now, maybe even on page 5 of your program. Do a quick thought audit. What is it that you think about? I guess a good, maybe, question here for this is, are you excited about where your thoughts are taking you in life? Are the ways that you think about life, are you excited about where they're taking you, or not excited about where they're taking you? Some people go through life with a rather global kind of thinking. I can be as victim to this as anyone else. But this is kind of that globalized thinking where whatever's happening in the moment, even though it's just the moment, your brain tells you that's how it always was and how it always will be, right? That's global thinking. And those are people who generally use the word always. In fact, if I was globally thinking, I'd say they're the ones who always use the word always. When always is never true. But, you know, if things are bad with my kids right now, well, they've always been bad and they always will be bad. Well, then how is it going to go? Not too good. You know, my marriage, you know, things aren't good right now. So it's always been bad and it always will be bad. Or my job. Things aren't going well with my job. Coworkers, my boss, you know, management, things aren't going well. Always has been bad, always will be bad. And it's hard to just look at it as a moment and to see something good or to see something positive or to see something helpful, to be hopeful for the future and that things can be different than they are today. But when our minds have this globalized thinking, it's very difficult to get out of that mindset and that way of thinking, and things end up always being that way. Money situations, you name it. Now, this idea, this thought audit that I'm encouraging you to do, and really what we're talking about today, is foundational for these weeks to come. There have been things that I have been learning over these last couple of years, things that I have been working on. Some things have been working for me, and I want to share some of these with you, because you're not bound by worry. You're not bound by negativity. You're not bound by worldly thinking. And you may not today be really excited about where your thoughts are taking you, because your life has been moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, which are lies. Negative thoughts from Satan himself. Because I want you to know today that you can have joy, and you can have peace, and you can have hope. And I'm going to give you a couple of things today to at least help you start this journey. The first thing is this. You've got to identify the number one stronghold that's holding you back. Now, you might have many, but I'm going to encourage you in the process of these next 4 weeks to identify one, okay? Let's work on one thing. Sometimes I think that's how we negatively think, but I've got all these problems. Like, what's the point of solving one when I've got all these other things? Because then you solve one, right? And then you can solve 2 and 3 and 4, and eventually you can solve all 8,948 of your problems. But every journey starts with a step, okay? What is your greatest stronghold? What is the greatest issue? What is the thing that seems to be holding you back more than anything? And I'm talking about in your thinking, right? If you're immediately wanting to blame someone, like, man, if I can just get rid of this person in my life, that is not what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about inside here. Okay? Identify the number one stronghold that's holding you back, the thing that you think about, negative thinking maybe, or whatever it might be. What is that number one thing that holds you back? This is the thing that you dwell on. This is the thing that seems to steal your joy. This is also the thing that you probably tend to complain a lot about. So if you're not sure what it is, ask the person next to you, because they know immediately what your issue is. Okay? What is this thing? The thing that causes you to worry, the thing that gives you sleeplessness, the thing you feel you have no control over. If you can identify this stronghold that's holding you back, that is the beginning of this journey. Now, when you think something over and over again, science tells us that we create something called a neural pathway. Neural pathways are wonderful. They're part of God's creation as to how he has mapped out our brain, and they make it to where we are able to think about more than just one thing and to do it efficiently. It's the way that our brain maps out information and maps out our life and the things that are around us in our life so that we have more energy to think about even more things and develop and grow and accomplish even more than what we are currently accomplishing. It's the way that the brain uses less energy for repeated tasks or repeated things. It creates these neural pathways. Like when you first learn to drive, right? Who here has been in the passenger seat next to someone on their first venture in a car? Okay? See, these are the stones, the pillars of humanity. Anyone that has the guts to get in the passenger seat of someone who has never operated 4,000 pounds of metal before, right? And when that person is behind the wheel, you are trying to tell them all the things that they need to know, realizing they can't possibly remember all of them, so you want to major on the minors, right? You want to be sure they understand the key things. There is a pedal called the brake, okay? This is the pedal you must know. When I say stop, that is the only thing you need to know about. Now, when someone is driving for the very first time, they are trying to think of everything. They're thinking about where their hands are. They're thinking where their feet are. They're thinking about how hard and when to push the gas. They go to push the brake. What happens when they push the brake for the first time? It's like they, you know, and you're like, no, softer. And they're like, dang, it's just like where is soft? Like, I barely push the thing, right? They're trying to figure this thing out. But fast forward 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, and all of a sudden you can go all the way from Omaha, Nebraska to Sioux Falls and pull into Sioux Falls and say, man, I remember that trip. That's scary, right? Or you come home from the grocery store and you're like, I do not even remember anything on the way home, and I had to hit 4 or 5 stoplights, right? Did your brain think how hard to push that brake pedal? See, you had created what's called a neural pathway, in which your brain has learned over time as you have taught it, this is how we stop, this is how we go, this is what traffic looks like, this is what it feels like behind a wheel of a car, and what at one time took every sensory perception that you had, and you did a horrible job at it, because it was just too much to remember, can get down to where you don't even remember it happening because of all the neural pathways that have been developed that allow you to be able to accomplish amazing things and to be able to think about something completely different and not even consciously pay attention to what you're currently doing. This is normal. This is natural. This is good. This is necessary. Can you imagine if that was not a normal thing for us, if we did not have that ability? Like, what are you getting at the store? Don't bug me. I got to remember how to press the brake. Every time you get in the car? 10 and 2, you know? You wouldn't be able to accomplish near what you'd be like, okay, walking. 1 foot, yep, 1 foot, yep. Forget the chewing the gum thing. It would be impossible for us. Neural pathways have developed so that you can multitask, you can have a greater capacity of doing things. And when you think something over and over again, when you think something enough, it becomes a default thought in your brain. Right or wrong, good or bad, positive or negative, when you think something over and over again, it becomes a default within your brain, and it becomes a neural pathway that makes it to where it is easy to think that thing and easy to see things in that way. Like if you lived in an area where there was the possibility every time that you went outside to be attacked by something. Okay, a bear, let's say, okay? You're going to be attacked by a bear anytime you walk outside. You will develop neural pathways that make you heightened and sensitive to the presence of a bear. And that's good because you need to be able to be aware of the presence of a bear without all of your energy be thinking about a bear the whole time because you can't accomplish any other thing. This is part of what gets set into people in post-traumatic stress. Post-traumatic stress takes an event and puts a neural pathway that is so powerful that that neural pathway exists in the places where that thing no longer exists, and it's hard to shut it off. That's why someone coming back from war can have post-traumatic stress. Now, it's post-traumatic stress disorder when it's not been fixed within a person and it prolongs a long time and becomes a limiter in their life. But everybody can have post-traumatic stress by dealing with a traumatic event and the post actions of that. So they can go and they can hear a balloon pop and all of a sudden their body reacts as if they're right there and a bomb has gone off and their life is in danger. And all of a sudden they're diving under the table and you're like, what do you mean? This was just fireworks. But their brain, they react without even thinking because this neural pathway has been set. It's kind of like think of a field, and if you cover a certain pathway over and over and over again, eventually the grass gets matted down, and eventually it doesn't even grow there. It is a path, and it is easy to walk. The first time, you're macheting your way through the path, right? But eventually, it's just easy. And if there's any path to choose, that's the one because it's easy to walk on. So if you want to change the way that you're thinking, you have to choose a different path. And that is the difficult part. That's the hard part of this whole thing. It's easy to choose what we have a neural pathway for, but when those things are negative, when those things are the footholds, the lies that Satan has told us that we have decided to believe over and over and over again, it is difficult to change what it is that we think about. But if you want to change your life, you have to change what you think. You and I are going to have to realize that negative thought and capture it. This is what that verse says that Paul talks about. We have to capture it and choose a new, more positive thought. This doesn't happen overnight in most situations. This is where addictions can have such a hold on us, because we're doing a particular addiction because we're trying to, you know, not feel bad about this or that or just how we've decided to cope. And you want to change that, and it's hard because the addiction keeps wanting to drag you back to the neural pathway that you've created. And when things aren't good, I'm going to take a drink. Or when things aren't good or things are stressful, I need nicotine. Or when things aren't good, things are bad, I need to shop or whatever it might be. But it's choosing a new thought instead of the old thought that says you have to do this in order to. It is not easy. But it's necessary if we want to have the life that we want to have. You see, you can remap your mind. You can create new neural pathways. And that old pathway will eventually grow over. And a new path can be formed. And the new pathway can be the default pathway that you have chosen. Whether you're a positive thinker or a negative thinker, you have a neural pathway for that. Because you are what it is that you think about. A positive person and a negative person both get cut off in traffic. But you know the difference in reaction, right? The neural pathway is already set. I have been with positive people that when you get cut off in traffic, and what do they say? They say things like, man, he must be having a bad day. What do you mean you should be having the bad day? He just cut you off, right? How many of you, when someone cuts you off, like now you're going to tail them, right? Like this thing wells up inside you, this neural pathway of set that I'm a victim. I've been wrong. You're evil, and evil is out to get me, and now you represent that evil, and I'm going to come get you, you know? And the positive person says, man, that person must be having a bad day. Or, man, they might be late for their wedding. Or they might have just got news that their kid's in the hospital. And they're cutting everybody off trying to get to the hospital. I think, man, why can't I think like that? That's a way better way to think, you know? To come home and tell your story when you get home, right? Oh, man, you can't believe this. I got cut off in traffic today. I mean, I think this person was like late, like, because wife was having her very first baby. And like you build this whole story, like what the kid's name is and the whole thing, right? Because don't you do the opposite? We talk about all of their intentions and their attitudes and their belief systems of the person that cut you off, what kind of person they are. I mean, you're literally guessing, right? You can choose one or the other. But that neural pathway gets set. You can choose to think something different. So whether it's an addiction or anger, harsh words, yelling, depression, fear, obsessions, frustrations, all of these can be the results of negative thoughts that have created negative neural pathways in our lives. And you have the power through Christ to change this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing, and perfect. Becoming a follower of Christ means that God gives us the power, the ability to change the way that we think. You are not stuck in this. You are not stuck in this prison that is built on false lies. To change the way you think is to change this neural pathway that each one of us have. And I challenge you to identify just one stronghold. Okay, just one that you can challenge, the one that's holding you back, and I encourage you to name it. What is this thing? Name it, because you cannot defeat what you cannot define. This is classic AA meeting kind of stuff. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. You have to say what it is. It may embarrass you, it might frustrate you, you might not want to admit it. But you have to identify it. because you can't defeat what you can't define. So now that you've named it, it's time for step two. Second question, or second idea for you today is this. Name the truth that demolishes the stronghold. So name the truth that then demolishes it, because there is an opposite to the lie that you've been given. You know, maybe look for one, two, three positives in every single situation before you allow yourself to think negatively about it. You know, if anger is your thing and you're just mad about everything, maybe it's trying to see something positive in each situation that makes you angry. And trying to remind yourself, I'm going to think something positive before I react with something negative. Try to change, to shift that neural pathway to a different way of thinking. Because there is good, and there is blessing, and there is something to be thankful for in every situation in life. That's some of the most amazing things when you talk to people that have gone through horrific things in life, whether it be the Jewish people in the Holocaust. And to talk about that in their enslavement, in their captivity, in the murdering of their families, that even in that they found things to praise God for. They found blessings. They found goodness in the midst of a most tragic situation. And there's others of us that, man, we could be given like a gift, like all expenses paid to Disneyland, right? And we'll say something like, it's probably going to be crowded seats on the plane. Oh my goodness, I will take your tickets. I will ride in the luggage compartment. But see, we can always find something to complain about in the best of situations. And we can always find something to praise in the worst of situations. The neural pathways that we set up are the choices that we make on how we think about things. The power in negative thinking is that there is some truth to it. Yeah, you could have been a better parent. Your kids are screwed up, you could have done better. But you forget that when you started parenting, you were in your 20s and you were dumb. And you didn't know how to parent until you finally finished. And you look back and say, man, I would have done that different. Yeah, but you did all that you knew. There's no grace that you give yourself. But the realization that now you know, now when your kids have kids, you can annoy them with all of your advice. And kick yourself for not accepting the advice of your parents because they actually had something figured out because they raised you. But you're limited. You also forget that your kids have choice. I mean, they get to choose with, it doesn't matter how great the education is you gave them, how amazing of a parent was you were. It's not like they were immune to their own choices, right? They still had choice. They got to choose just like you get to choose. And where is God in the mix anyways? Where is your trust in Him? That God's got this thing. Sure, your house could be cleaner. But how clean is clean enough? You know, when is enough enough? I mean, everybody's got a different definition for that. I think that there is this idea that, you know, when we're thinking negatively, we see everything in that negative light. But positive thinking also is not just trying to lie to yourself. It's not trying to, like, cover up the truths of all this other stuff. But see, that's where the power of these lies are, is there is some truth to them. Yeah, maybe I could have done better as a parent. But positive thinking is not lying. It's realizing your limitations. It's also celebrating the good that has happened instead of just focusing on the negativity. How about there's some bad choices that your kids have made, but look at all the amazing choices that they've made. Celebrate the good. If we're choosing to focus on one, why not focus on that one versus the other? Or focus on being thankful. Or focus on being content with what you do have. You see, it is realizing the brokenness of yourself. It's also realizing the brokenness of those around you. It helps us to realize the truth in a situation, which is that it's not always as bad as we think it's going to be or that it has been. Look, my number one stronghold, if I was going to answer the question, my number one stronghold is feeling like Nobody cares about me unless I'm doing something for them. And that is a lie direct from Satan. That's my number one stronghold in life. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Oh, poor me, unless I'm doing something for them, and then they'll feel good about me. The evidence in my life is overwhelmingly in the other direction, of people that love me regardless of what I have ever done for them, people that love me in the midst of the hurt that I have caused them, and my lack of ability. The evidence is overwhelming, yet it remains a stronghold in my life, a neural pathway that I have let set that I am trying desperately to change. Because I can choose to focus on situations that seem to fit my negative neural pathway, or I can confront those situations with the truth and build a new neural pathway. 2 Peter 1:3. Peter says that by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Do you believe this? God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. I want to encourage you today, as we conclude week one of this series, is to fight the lies of Satan and grab a hold of the truths of God. Because you might be saying right now, you know what, Pastor Doug? Ain't nobody going to fight for me. No one's going to fight for me. I'm going to be left on my own. But the truths of God, as the scriptures say, that he will fight for you. You know, Pastor Doug, I am unlovable. And if you need it, I have a list of evidence, examples of how I am unlovable, and people that have even told me I am unlovable. And I would say the truth of the scriptures is that nothing you do will remove God's love for you. Nothing. Pastor Doug, I have fear. And I have reasons to be fearful. Here are my reasons to be fearful. And I would say, fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. That is the truth. But I can't do it. I'm not enough. I'm not all that I need to be. I am not enough to do it. I would say that when you are weak, he is strong. But I'm ugly. I don't fit and measure up to the standards of this world when it comes to how someone's to look. And I would say you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But Pastor Doug, everything seems to be bad in my life. Nothing seems to be good. And I would say that the joy of the Lord is your strength. But I'm alone. And I would say he will never leave you or forsake you. You and your life is not what Satan says that it is. Those are lies. Your life is what God says it is. And he created you. You are his masterpiece. He has overcome. He has redeemed. And he has given you a good life, rich with meaning and with purpose. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, and the major battles in your life are won or lost in the mind. But scripture is the one that tells us the truth of what those things are. So capture the lies and replace them with the truths of God. I'd like to say this happens overnight, but this is going to be some of the hardest work you'll have to do. But Jesus said that when you know the truth will what? It'll set you free. Be set free. You deserve it. And you're worth it. And you matter. Because God loves you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love and your truth. Help us to know that the lies that Satan tells us are not true, and that the things that you say are the truth. And help us replace those negative neural pathways with the truth of who you are so that we can love others the way that you love us. That we can be people of grace and not people of judgment. That we can be people who are givers of ourselves instead of takers of what we can get. To look out for the best, to believe and hope, and to trust that you are in control. May you transform our mind, renew our mind, as we are followers of you and your Holy Spirit dwells within us. We bind Satan and the lies that he tells us in our lives to replace those lies with your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to stand as we close in a final song.